Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Welcome to Sport Faith Life. We're excited this week to have a little bit of a special conversation about golf. I know Chad loves talking about golf, so we're going to talk about golf this week. It's exciting because this time of the year is one of the first golf tournaments, men's golf tournaments on the PGA Tour that people really pay attention to, and it's called the Masters. Just a little background, if you're not familiar with PGA Tour golf, there are other tours around the world, many other tours around the world, but PGA Tour golf has four majors, and those four majors happen once a year. This is the only major that happens at its own unique golf course, and it's always the first major of the year. Coming, you know, if you start at the calendar year in January, it's the springtime tournament at Augusta National in Augusta, Georgia. And the Masters Golf Tournament has a bunch of iconic connections that people remember. If you win at the Masters Golf Tournament, you win a green jacket, which is pretty exciting and a lot of money. But the Masters is a very special place for golfers. They always love going. They have sort of ceremonial tee times for past champions. So it's a lot of things that people get used to at this time of the year. And this year, at the end of the Masters tournament, the number one player in the world won. So not a big surprise. However, it doesn't always happen that way if you're unfamiliar with golf. In fact, it's very hard to win week to week. But the number one ranked player in the world is Scottie Scheffler. And Scottie Scheffler did not start out in the lead, but made his way up to the top of the leaderboard. And by Sunday, which is the final round, he was in the final group. Played brilliantly, to be honest. I mean, he just put the pedal down and scored in such a way that he just ran away with it. A very big win for him. You know, in golf, it takes about 4 or 5 hours to play golf. The announcers are on air all the time. And so part of the deal is for people to get to know the players in that conversation. And there were a number of interesting things about Scottie Scheffler. One was that his wife was unable to be in attendance. She was at all of his previous wins, goes to a lot of his golf tournaments, because she's 9 months pregnant and she was waiting to deliver a baby. But Scottie is also known in sort of the athletic world as a Christian. And after the tournament, there was about a 18-19 minute press conference. And Scottie said some things in that press conference that were clipped and went viral on a lot of social media platforms. There was also a follow-up interview with another podcast. I don't know why Scottie didn't reach out to us. Scottie, by the way, if you hear this, we are available. So we'd be happy to have this direct conversation with you. But he was on another podcast, kind of unpacking his comments. And then, you know, people have written articles about it. And so Chad and I thought it was a nice intersection of sport, faith, and life. And we thought we would try to, you know, unpack it, figure out what was really meant by it, maybe draw some learning from it. So Chad has developed a few questions, but it's really going to be much more of a conversation. So Chad, as the non-golfer in the group, what were your reactions?
This is, can I just say on the record that while so many of the good ideas in Sport Faith Life are yours, this was my idea. And it might go against what I stand for. And certainly I make sarcastic comments about golf. But what an opportunity for us to talk to you to listen to what you have to say about golf. I'm not sure the listeners are aware that of the many hats that Brian wears, one of those is a visor, maybe with Titleist, maybe with Nike, a golf hat, right? A golf visor as a coach of the Calvin University men's golf team. And so, yes, certainly wanting to have this conversation and wanting to hear from you, Brian, on all things golf. You started off talking about Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler played a round on Sunday at the Masters that was described as not the most entertaining unless you really know golf, right? He just got the job done. And there wasn't the emotional investment from the everyday golf fan. I think people really like him. He's a likable guy. He's not a super emotional guy that's going to, you know, draw the crowd into a frenzy. He got the job done. What does he do for the game of golf, and what is his faith? What role does his faith play in that?
Yeah, really interesting how you describe that final round as not really being dramatic. It is to the golfer, because the golfer understands how difficult Augusta National is as a golf course. But Scottie plays what I would call a very strategic method. And so, like in his follow-up interview, Scottie talked a number of times about hitting it away from the pin. In other words, at Augusta National, you'd think, you know, you're 170, 180 yards, 140 yards, 110 yards away. And these are shots that typically you have a target and you hit it toward the hole. Many, many times on Augusta National, the smart play, the right play, is to not to hit it at the hole, because what you need the ball to do is to stop in a certain part of the green. And so to play strategically like that is, you know, the real golf aficionado understands that, and also understands like how hard that is, because every weekend golfer grabs that club, dials it on the pin and says, I'm going to stick this one close. And the variance, even for professionals, and Scottie is the best iron player in the world, and iron is how you approach the green typically. And even he has a wide dispersion. You hit it left, you hit it right, you hit it long, you hit it short. And so that strategic decision is kind of part of being a champion, that ability to understand golf so deeply that you're not as precise as you think you're going to be all the time. So how do I make good decisions to make that happen? I think it's been great for the game of golf to have him emerge. You know, there have been a lot of back and forth from a lot of players that have not been able to sustain already what Scottie has. And so now his name is much more well known. He's got two Masters championships now, so he's won two of them. To come and sort of put a stamp on that and say, yes, I am the best player in the world, I think that's been good for golf. You know, it had Tiger Woods for a long time, and then Rory McIlroy kind of stepped into that role. And Rory has never won the Masters. And that is just really intriguing to people when they look at the talent that he has, and he just has not been able to wear the green jacket. And now, like, it's really, I can't imagine, maybe when he thinks he can't win it again, like, I'm too old, there's no chance I can win it, maybe he'll win it then. But in the end, Scottie's been good for the game. His faith journey is really kind of interesting. I loved his comments, by the way, because he was, you know, he's not a man of many words, but he kind of nailed it in terms of talking about golf being not satisfying. And he's not really talking about his faith there, kind of trumping it. Instead, what he's talking about is this game is amazingly difficult, and all sports are amazingly difficult, to not think about the next thing. You know, he just won the Masters. You would think you could bask in the glow at least for a second, and you just don't. Athletics is like that. You get a moment to celebrate, and then you turn your attention to the next thing. And that's what he's talking about, I think, with calling it unsatisfying. Let's get to some other things that that he talked about in his press conference, Chad?
Yeah, it was interesting the way that he described it, because I think that fits so well with what the community around Sport Faith Life has really heard a lot about. I'm thinking about John Ashley Null, who's been a guest on our podcast, talking about the difficulties and the dangers of a performance-driven identity, you know, for Christian athletes, for elite athletes in general. It's so easy to fall into the trap of, I'm only as good as my performance, or I'm only worthy if I perform well. And it seems to be like even you know, Scottie Scheffler, who seems like such a, you know, such a quintessential golfer, you know, a guy that just sort of is mature and, you know, relatively soft-spoken. I mean, he seems like a throwback in some ways, and yet he's able to articulate some of the modern pressures that are on so many athletes. And so I'm interested in that particularly. And maybe you can speak to this from your role as coach as well, is when he describes things like, you know, that's the frustration of this profession, is that you are at the pinnacle of your game. I mean, he's the world number one. He's got some wins already. He's the quickest player to win twice at the Masters or something like that. I can't remember what the stat was. And he can't even really enjoy it because he's thinking about the next thing. I wonder if you can unpack that a little bit more for an athlete, especially an individual sport athlete, right? So it's one thing for Steph Curry to say, I win one NBA championship and it makes me hungry to win more, right? Immediately, instead of, I enjoy this right now, I'm at the top of the world. For an individual sport, it's very different because you have no one else that you can scapegoat, right? If the team doesn't play well in a team sport, you can point to other players or the coach or whatever else, but in golf, it's you, right? It's you and you're alone on an island there.
Yeah, I think that is really intriguing. I mean, certainly Scotty is one of the youngest players to win twice at the Masters. I think there's a small handful of folks, including Tiger Woods, that won twice at a younger age. But the thing that people talked about with Tiger was his drive. Somehow he was just driven to move forward. And Scotty's quote after the Masters, after winning this time around in the press conference, was to say, you know, the morning before he played his final round, he said to his friends, "I wish winning didn't matter so much to me." You know, that's a paraphrase, mm-hmm. but essentially that's what he said. Like he said, "I love winning and I hate losing.
And I hate that I love winning so much."
Yeah, actually, he was starting to lament, like, why do I have this? I hate that I love winning so much. But that, I mean, if you're an athlete, that quote just speaks to you. You get it. And I wouldn't even say if you're an athlete, if you're a pretty driven athlete. I have, you know, I have 14 young men on my golf team, and I have those who love winning and hate losing. But there's a variation. There's a degree. Because it always comes down to, what are you willing to do to accomplish what it is you love? And so what Scotty's admitting there is that I don't think he's trying to say this, but I'm unique, right? I've had this since I was a kid. I have been driven to accomplish in this area. Many of his competitors have come and gone, maybe with less talent, but certainly with less drive to succeed. And what Scott is acknowledging there is, like, I feel like this is built in. I feel like this is who I was created to be. And so you start wrestling with that. You start wrestling with all of your loves and passions. And you say, okay, how do I keep this in check? In fact, the Bible would say, you know, anything that you have in excess doesn't necessarily make it bad, but anything that you have in excess, beware. Beware that it becomes your idol. And so I thought it was a moment of great honesty for him to say, man, I to even reflect out loud, I don't know why I love winning so much and why I hate losing so much and why this matters so much to me. Should it? And that's where he was sort of stuck. As a person of faith, I think you have those questions naturally. I have no idea, I certainly don't want to presume Tiger Woods' faith, but this conversation didn't come up with him. He was just lauded and applauded for his drive. And so, and it was, I, idealized, right? In other words, could we all have that drive? Could we all do that? And the answer is no. It was deep down in Tiger Woods to be able to do that. Scottie Scheffler feels something very, very similar, but he's wrestling with, is this too much? Or is it wrong? Is it not a matter of degree, but is it just straight wrong? Ultimately he comes to his own conclusion, which I think is a good one. And that goes to, I was built this way. I was born this way. I was given these gifts and talents. And part of what I'm doing here, what I'm engaged in, is winning. I'm engaged in sport. He's sort of in this weird place where other people can be really driven to make a great piece of art or produce a fine piece of music. I mean, get that piano piece perfect. But typically, the open competition of those things is different. Sport requires very open competition. And so if I get it, somebody else doesn't. So I really love his honesty as he approached that. I thought he was really saying a lot when he was saying just a few words.
Yeah, I love the type of honesty and authenticity there. I love what Scottie Scheffler brings to the table, to the game of golf. I think it's something special. I think it's something that, Brian, you and I resonate with, trying to think deeply about sport and faith specifically, but, you know, sport in general, we're thinking deeply about this. I think Scottie's doing that, right? The reflection that he has, we don't see a lot of modern athletes with that, first of all, that ability to think deeply, reflectively about themselves within their sport, especially as they're at the top. And also to be at the top, you know, while doing that, I suppose. I'm thinking of like Kobe Bryant, who had an ability to articulate really deep and reflective thoughts about basketball and about himself in basketball while he was playing. Scottie Scheffler feels a lot the same way, where it's an acknowledgement of who you are and what you do, and wrestling with the value of who you are and what you do, while also not apologizing necessarily for that, right? So maybe I wish it was different, but this is who I am. And I'm not going to try to, you know, change who I am or change my life, because I do think that there's something good about what I'm doing, right? Scottie Scheffler is bringing good to the world. I think Kobe Bryant felt the same way most of the time, or at least later on in his career. Nevertheless, what Scottie's doing, what it seems to me, standing on the outside of the golf world, what it seems like Scottie's doing is something very different than what Tiger Woods doing. It seemed like Tiger Woods was revolutionizing how the game was played, or, you know, he brought a particular type of athleticism or athletic training to golf that a lot of the older players that he went up against just hadn't done, right? The weightlifting, and there's all these stories of him being, you know, the guy that could pound for pound lift more weight than anybody else when he was at Stanford as a college athlete. And then he comes to the game and he brings this scientific training and he brings this psychological performance training, all of these things to the game of golf. And maybe he wasn't the first one to do it, but he did it so well. Scottie Scheffler doesn't seem to be revolutionizing the game in that way to the outside, to someone like me. But what he's doing, I mean, is when I called it old school earlier, what I mean is it seems like he's got the physical ability, absolutely. But he's also got the discipline, and he thinks the game well, and I love his ability to articulate things about the game that will help propel the game forward, and that's something that Tiger Woods did not seem to do.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a time yet to compare them, you know, in terms of how they might impact. But I do think, you know, I think about his ability to articulate his personhood in this game. That has made an impact already. People are talking about that. You know, he goes on to say, you know, I have these priorities in life, and my priorities are about to flip, right? And so he says golf is fourth, and people latched onto that. They love that. They love that, you know, he'll describe his faith as one, his wife is two, his newborn child, which should be coming any second, and then finally golf. Now, to be honest, his life won't describe that, right? He will spend more time practicing. So number four is going to get a lot of attention, yep. Right? It is not a proportional time element. It just isn't, and it can't be. But I remember Matt Hovind speaking to us on this podcast saying, I said, what's the purpose of theology in sport? And he said, without that framework, without that perspective, we can so easily lose ourselves. And so theology gives him an opportunity to find an anchor, because right now he is at the top of the world, but I guarantee he is going to hit a slide and he is going to underperform, and people will be actually less interested in his quotes at a press conference after a round. All those things are going to be true. When you start thinking like somehow he's captured the formula, somehow he's put it all together. No, he is a great golfer. And it just turns out right now that we want to listen to him because he's kind of at the top of the heap, and things will happen where he'll have to struggle and he'll use his faith in an entirely different way. Like, should I quit this game? I mean, what's going on here? We've all been there as athletes. We know it's coming for Scotty at one particular point. He may have a great career, but he'll have a downslide. It's the way it goes. I also think, you know, it's also kind of interesting. He's drawing some attention. You say Tiger Woods revolutionized the way you approach the game. And Scotty actually has something very unique about the way he plays that no previous person in the past many, you know, 20 years for sure, has had this kind of an impact in just the way that he plays. Scotty's feet fly out from under him when he hits a shot. And people... he's called Fred Astaire, right? So he looks like he's almost like he's dancing. And so now what's happening is on social media is people are going to the range and trying to, you know, emulate this and hurting their ankles. They can't quite get this move that Scotty. So it's to a golf purist, it seems incredibly wrong. I know from a physics perspective what's happening, how he's jumping from one side to the next. The sort of old ways of Ben Hogan and so on, of keeping your feet on the ground and so on, that's all been kind of going away anyway. But the way his feet slide out, you almost look, it looks like he slips, but he hits the club right in the center of the club face every time, it seems, and generates a lot of force to be able to do that. So he is kind of just from in a quirky way getting people to swing differently. I always... You know, I teach hundreds of kids how to play golf in the summers at golf camps and things like that. And this will happen. They will all want to do the Scotty Scheffler. I guarantee it. They will try to swing like Scotty. Just now, kids naturally swing like Scotty. Their feet go all over the place. But they'll want to do the Scotty, which is to slide those feet around while swinging.
I remember seeing some replays while I was watching the final round in between my nap, and that. Did you hear what I said there, Brian?
Yeah, I think you kind of said you watched golf.
I kind of admitted to that in the middle of a Sunday afternoon nap. And they were showing replays of his feet, and I guess I wasn't listening very closely to what was going on, but I appreciate you from the inside of golf explaining to me what was going on. So thank you for that. I'm curious if we can step back even farther here. Is golf... I mean, Scotty Scheffler is not the only Christian on the PGA Tour, I would imagine. Is there something about golf that lends to faith that makes it easier to have faith? Is it easier for a Christian to play golf than another sport? Does golf lead us into habits and disciplines that would be conducive to the faith? Is there any connection there that makes golf unique?
Well, let's look for one. I'm not quite sure. I think if we look at the game itself, it doesn't have a lot of the elements that you see in other Christian circles. So say, for instance, basketball teams. Basketball teams have each other. And so if there is a push in a certain direction, that can be you sort of join the groupish. And golf is so individual, not only in the way that you play, but also in the way that you travel, in the way that you practice. And so there's not camaraderie, there's not community, or at least natural community, to any of these things. In fact, there's a show that's on Netflix that is about sort of the back lives of golfers, and it's kind of the things you'd expect, like a lot of gambling, to be honest, right? So golfers are great gamblers. And so every time they play, they, you know, when they're playing in the Masters, they're not gambling, but they're playing in practice rounds with their friends. They're throwing around a lot of money, right? Just as an example, the fame that goes with golf can lead to lots of different things that we can imagine. It requires a lot more self-discipline in terms of nobody's looking out for you. Mm. So when you have a coach sort of watching you, you have teammates holding you accountable. Hey, you can't go out till 2 a.m. We have a game tomorrow, right? That sort of thing. That's totally on you. Golfers have coaches, but they're much more like consultants. Mm-hmm. You know, they meet them on the range, they meet them on the putting green. They might be life coaches in some way, but they certainly don't have authority like coaches. They're hired to give you advice, which is different than the authority of a coach that might show up in another circumstance. So I think there are some certain things that would say it's harder to be a Christian just because of the encouragement, the community, those sorts of things that you might find. The easier part, I think, you get a lot of time to reflect. You get a lot of time to think about it. You get a lot of time to, if you want to be introspective, golf gives you time to do that. I mean, it is a torturous game. I am coming off a bad coaching weekend. So my team is, you know, kind of reeling. Just didn't we stepped into a tournament and just didn't play as well as we thought we would or as we knew we could. And it was the entire team. It actually, it kind of went all the way through the group. Now, you could turn around the next day and turn that around. That's what's interesting about golf. But also, I have a player on my team that was baptized in his local church on Sunday. And the whole team showed up.
Hmm.
So you have both these things going on. And me, I'll just give you my like honest anguish as a coach, right? I kind of let him have it over the weekend, right? My role is to set a certain standard, declare that standard, and try to get them to that standard. And sometimes, at least in my approach, takes some prodding, some significant prodding, if you know what I'm saying. It's easy to get distracted, to not hold yourself to that standard. And part of my role, and I've been doing this for 20 years, is to try to get them to play better than they think they can. And so I just think of that, like I'm sitting there hugging a young man who just got baptized, right? And he just had a terrible, just a very anguishing weekend. You know, these worlds just collide in two very strange ways. So I would say that a team, college teams have an opportunity to do some of what other college teams do. Professional golfers don't have that really at all. They don't have opportunity to play in teams and they don't have that kind of encouragement. So that's my long answer to your question about whether or not, I don't know, there are other parts. I think you get time to do things. I think you get to be outside, enjoy nature, maybe recognize contemplative time. I think that might help.
I like that word for sure, contemplative. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't think that makes golf unique, but I think it separates it from a lot of sports to where we're thinking about, you know, what's conducive to, if Christianity is at all about thought and reflection, then I would lump golf in with a number of endurance sports as well as places where there is repetition, but there's also time and space. Like you're not being clouded with thoughts about how do I in the moment right now, like right now I have to respond to what a competitor is doing in real time. There's no defense to be played. And when there's no defense to be played and there's quite a bit of time between strategic moves, then I would say that's absolutely a sport where there's time for contemplation. And I think when there's time for contemplation, at least following Aristotle, that should lead to contemplation about God. Now, if that's what your players were doing over the weekend, then golf doesn't fit well with, you know, with that,
yeah,
right?
Hard
if
to
there
say.
Was anguish because their performance
yeah.
suffered. And yet that's interesting how you describe the weekend as a coach. You know, you see one guy make a decision that's going to change his life for eternity. And what a wonderful thing there. And yet they didn't live up to the expectation on Friday and Saturday, if that's when it was, that you had for them. There's still something to be done. And I think what you're getting at is a little bit of the Scottie Scheffler sentiment that there's always, we always need to be thinking about the next, getting better, you know, and improving. And if we don't, you know, we shouldn't be happy about that. Even if other things in life are going really well, I imagine, you know, that would have been a whole interesting case study if Scottie Scheffler had blown it on Sunday in the Masters, and yet he still is in this really exciting time of his life where he has a child coming. He probably still would have been despondent, even though it's only the fourth biggest thing in his life that just went, you know, that just reeled for the weekend. Thinking about life and sport, right? And so you're a coach of these guys, but you're also a mentor for them, and you care about their lives and their faith. So a really interesting, probably mix of emotions over the weekend for you.
Yeah, you said it. And I think I love how you brought up that, first of all, we wouldn't be talking about this if Scotty did blow it. The story would have been, you know, he was a little distracted.
Right.
You know, he couldn't focus. Right. And so it does go to certainly his mental strength. Maybe, you know, Chesterton said, Earth is a task garden and heaven is a playground. And here we have sort of that already not yet, that mix of the task garden and the playground all the time. And I love the way that this example puts us exactly in that place. We're playing a game. In some ways, for Scottie Scheffler, it's a task because it's his job. And yet, he's searching for that grounding that helps him move it into a play space. So when I talked about him saying, I wish I didn't want to win so much, his friends that he was talking to brought him back and made him separate. And what they said to him was, you might not get victory today, but your victory in Jesus Christ is secure. And Scotty said this several times in his post-round interview. My victory is secure. And just that reminder about heaven, right? We would look at this from, you know, both of us are more from a reform perspective. And so we don't necessarily see like that's an only thing to aspire to, right? We want to see heaven and earth come together, right? We want to see that. And I think in some ways, Scotty was getting at that as well, saying, you know, this somehow in this moment gave me a transcendent perspective. I think that was very helpful for him, but in this case, it certainly could have been could have turned out differently, and we'd be thinking about it maybe from a new perspective. But I think that idea that helps us get perspective on the ups and downs of our sport performances, I think that's very helpful. And I know that in terms of my team and the individual players on my team, that has been helpful as a coach.
It seems as though, you know, as we're wrapping things up here, we're hitting on, I love this conversation. And it is also about golf, which is giving me a mix of emotions here. But I remember growing up playing with my dad. My dad loves golf. And he would always say, oh, it's that one great shot that keeps pulling you back. Right, that you hit one great shot. You might have a terrible round, but it's that one great shot that'll get you back to the first tee the next day that you play. It keeps you wanting to play. And that's a reminder of the Chesterton thing, that this is a playground. And even if, I mean, golf specifically, it might not feel like just sort of a task garden itself. It's 18 tasks, right? It might feel like tasks. And that's the way that our sports get at times for us. And I don't want to apologize for that necessarily, for conflating those two things, because I think that puts some meaningfulness to our playground. But I love thinking about that, which brings us back. And there's probably something going on with your players right now, at least we hope that they felt like the task is yet undone, right? That there's still more to accomplish, and that might be bringing them back as well. Brian, I think your players are lucky to have you, a coach that that reflects deeply on life, that has things in perspective. I would say, I don't know a lot of the coaches that you go up against, but I think some might say that coaching isn't their number one thing. And there's probably a lot of liars there. I would say for you, like, I just love the perspective that you have here and the ability to offer even-keeled, Scottie Scheffler-like thoughts about golf as you lead your guys. So I know they're in great hands. This has been a blast having this conversation. Why don't you wrap it up for us with something really special about golf? You're on the 18th green. Tap it in. Just tap it in here.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate your comments there. I don't know. We'll see what the players think about that. But I had an opportunity to play with some alumni, some guys that have graduated a couple of years ago, and these are two of the best golfers I've ever had. And it was just those two and me playing 9 holes. And I rarely get a chance to actually just play. I usually am playing with players, if anything. And, you know, I hit one shot on one difficult hole and struck it well enough for them to comment. And I'm like, that's the one shot that's going to bring me back. That's the one thing that's going to bring me back. And I want to keep that spark alive for everyone. All right. I talk about that love being a part of why we're continuing to do something really difficult and something that is repeatedly disappointing. Why are we doing this? And I got to believe that love is built into the creation that we're in, that we have this opportunity. We're created in a specific way, and we have this opportunity to do that and just get a little glimpse of paradise every once in a while. So golf gives us that. It gives us a lot more hard times than great times, but that glimpse of paradise makes it all worth it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sport, faith, life.